So we're going to get right into the Word this morning. Matthew chapter 13, for the sake of time, let's just get right into the Word. And I'm going to read verse, if you remember, last week we were in verses, we were in the parable of the yeast. And I have to give a shout out to a certain church member that brought me yeast rolls this week. They brought me like hot, homemade like yeast rolls. And I was just like, I said, hallelujah. Right? Hallelujah. We talked about the parable of the yeast. If you go down to the next parable, mine's kind of broken up in my Bible. It's got a bunch of scribbling all over it for some reason too. But it's the parable of the wheat and the weeds explained. We already talked about that, so we're going to skip on down to verse 44. If you find that this morning, say amen. All right, we got a couple people that found it. Verse 44, and we're going to go all the way through 46. So I'm going to read that this morning. It says this, the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. Verse 44 starts out like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Before we get into the Word, let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for what it does in our life when we just simply read it and ask and want and seek for you to come in and change us and to work in our life. Lord, I just pray today that it would become real for us today. That if there's somebody here today that doesn't understand the power of Christ, it doesn't understand what the cross represents, it doesn't understand how your Word can be an inspired, living Word of God, Lord, that today that their heart would be softened and that you would reveal to them how much you love them and how much mercy and how deep your grace is and your love for them that was displayed on the cross through Jesus. And Lord, as we go through this passage, Lord, I ask that you would get me out of the way and that I would just speak life this morning, speak truth this morning. Lord, we love you, and may everything that we do from this point on honor and bring glory only to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we have been going through this chapter 13, most of it is parables. And we've been breaking them down, if you notice. Hopefully you're not getting bored with it. Hopefully you're not falling asleep on me on Sunday mornings. Like, oh great, we're still in Matthew chapter 13. What's he going to talk about this Sunday for 35, 40 minutes? I tried this week to make a little bit shorter sermon, but I didn't succeed. We've been breaking them down, looking at the characters and who they are and who Jesus is talking about, how they can apply to our life. And hopefully all of us, just like me and a brother were talking about yesterday at a birthday party, that these parables and the scriptures, we always have to be able to find a way to apply them to our life. Who are the characters? What is Jesus trying to tell me? What does he want me to get from that? What is God trying to tell me through the Word when we read it? Well, today there's two main interpretations of this parable that we need to talk about and that I'm going to talk about. Now, there may be different ones, but I believe these are the two main ways that people interpret this scripture. And I believe that either one is okay for this parable. That's what I really love about the Word of God, because it's universal. I love the Word of God because I can read this part of the scripture and be encouraged this morning. Somebody else can read a part of Scripture, the same part of Scripture, and they can be convicted. Maybe that you need to walk away from a certain sin in their life, or maybe convicted that God's calling them deeper into something, or maybe to forgive somebody, or to love somebody that seems to be unlovable, or whatever it is, or vice versa. I can read a Scripture that convicts me this morning, and the same Scripture can encourage you. See, the Word of God is universal in this way. It always applies to our lives if we allow it. No matter where we are in life, no matter what season, no matter what we're dealing with. So as we're going through these two interpretations of this parable, I want you to really think about it. Where is it? Which way are you looking at it this morning? Which way does God want to apply it to your heart and to your life this morning? And we're going to talk about it. And for the sake of time, we're just going to really focus on the first treasure, of that treasure that's found in the field. Because I believe when Jesus was teaching this to his disciples, and I believe he taught them together. The more I read about this week, the more I looked at the meaning of both of these parables. I believe he went right through it with his disciples because they mean the same thing. And he was trying to drive the same point home. So for the sake of time, we're just going to talk about the treasure that was found in the field. So number one is this. So the first interpretation of this parable, I believe, goes like this. Some would read this and say that the man in the parable, look back at it, verse 44, that the man in the parable that found the treasure is Christ Himself, is Jesus. And the treasure in the field is us, you and me, maybe potential believers in the world. The field is the world, and Jesus sees the treasure of people who believe. And I believe if you look at it this way, you'll easily see that Jesus, if this is the way that you interpret this passage, Jesus does five things. We're going to go through them real quick. Number one, Jesus hides the treasure. He protects them and keeps us safe. That's what Christ does for us as believers. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, Jesus says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." Somebody needs to hear this truth this morning. Listen to this, church. "No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." So number one, he hides His treasure. He protects us. Number two, Jesus goes into the world. If you go to Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we've read this a lot of times. We've all probably heard this. It says, "For the Son of Man," talking about Jesus, He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." He comes into the world. He actively comes down and He comes to save those who are lost. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is one of my life verses. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them all." Oh, if we just had that attitude, it would be a little bit easier for us to go out into the world and share the gospel with other people. Just like Jesus goes into the world. Number three, Jesus sold all, or He sells all. He gives up His heaven, His place in heaven. He gave up all the glory of heaven to come down here and be born of a virgin and to live in a broken world with us. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, we read about this at Christmas time a lot. This is what it says. "She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger." So here is Christ giving up His eternal glory in heaven, where all the angels are circled around the throne praising Him, where He was there with God in the very beginning, in creating everything that we have and see, that ever will be. Here He is laying in a manger, little strips of cloth to keep Him warm, because there was nowhere else available for Him to stay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, church. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that in His poverty He could make you rich." Number four, Jesus buys the field. He paid the ultimate price. He didn't just hang on to heaven a little bit. He didn't hang on to His glory. He gave up everything for the treasure that he loves. He buys the field. He paid the ultimate price. He gave His life on the cross for us. Romans chapter 5, Paul speaks of this in verse 8. He says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." And number five, I think it's easy for us to see, it says right in there, Jesus rejoices when a new treasure is found. So this is one of the two main interpretations of this parable. Jesus is the man, okay? And the treasure is us, the church, or the believers, those who accept the salvation that He brings to us and that He offers to us. Now, the other interpretation goes like this. The man represents you and me, so it flip-flops on us. The man represents you and me, or people out in the world, and the treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a person experiences the saving power of Jesus, they understand what an awesome and what a great, powerful treasure that they have found. Now, this is the way personally that I read this parable. This is the way I've always looked at it. That doesn't mean that I'm right and someone else is wrong. It just means that's the way I interpret it. It's the way God works in my life. That's the way I look at it. When I experience Jesus, I should do these four things. And this is the way I look at it. I should hide the treasure of the gospel and tuck it away in my heart and protect it. I should never let it go. I should cling to it. Now, this doesn't mean that we should never go out and share it with anybody else. And I'm not saying we should actually hide it and never share it with anybody. I'm talking about clinging to it, cherish it, worship it, and realize what kind of treasure, protect it, what we really have. And we never stop seeking for more and more of the treasure. We keep investing in the treasure, and we keep looking at it, and we keep focusing on how great it is. And we keep looking at our relationship and focusing and trying to grow and seek more and grow closer to Christ as we have that relationship with Him. Number two, I should sell everything I have. Now, he's not just talking about selling my boat and my truck, okay? He's not, so don't stress out here, all right? He's talking about everything. He's talking about everything in my life. I should be able to sell my old ways and get rid of it. Nothing else compares to Christ. The moment that I find the treasure in the field, I go back and I sell everything I got because I want to buy the field. I want to buy the entire field. I'm not just okay just having a little bit of the treasure. I sell my old ways. I repent. I turn from my former life and I turn it all over to God. Number three, I completely buy into the gospel. I commit my whole life to Jesus. That's the way it should be when we find the treasure in the field. Number four, I should rejoice. I finally found something worth living for, right? I finally found something that's not going to let me down. I found something worth dying for when you find Christ. So again, I believe either interpretation fits what's being said in this passage, or what's being said here, and we're going to talk about it. But I believe that neither way changes the main focus or the real meaning of this parable. So we've talked about different ways that somebody might look at it this morning, but I want to talk about the three main things that Christ was pointing out. It's this. Number one, the parable describes the kingdom of heaven. That's what he said. The kingdom of heaven is like. Number two, there's a treasure that is hidden. That's what he tells us right in the parable. And number three, there's a man that finds the treasure. So let's read verse 44 again. So just focus on that because that's where we're going to stay today. And let's take a deeper look at this parable. It says this. Jesus says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. So again, the first thing that we see in this parable is this. Jesus was teaching, he was using this parable to describe the kingdom of heaven so his disciples would understand. Jesus wanted his followers to really understand, listen to this church, the great value of the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand the great value that the kingdom of heaven brings? Do you really understand that today? You see, Jesus wanted his followers. He wasn't teaching to a large crowd. He was sitting down with his followers, with his disciples at this point, and he was teaching his disciples. And I believe that this parable of the treasure in the field, or if you look at the pearl that the merchant was looking for, I believe they were taught together because they have the same basic meaning, that the kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure there ever is, there ever will be, there ever was, there ever will be. You see, once we really understand the treasure that we have in Christ, both here, right now in this life, both when we or when we're in eternity, or for eternity in heaven with our Savior, I believe it's happened in my life that we get a whole different outlook on life. We get a whole different outlook on life and death and all the different things we deal with. In fact, I believe Jesus knew that until his disciples really understood just a little taste of how great the treasure they had that was standing right in front of them, until they got just a little taste and they really started to understand how powerful and how great and how valuable the treasure that Jesus was standing right there in front of them. Until they did that, they would never be able to really count the cost of being a disciple. I believe the same thing applies to you and me today. Until you believe and understand the treasure that you have available to you in Christ, or maybe that you already have in Christ, you will never actually be sold out for Christ. You'll never actually become a true disciple until you really realize the value of Christ and the kingdom of God. Amen? Instead, you'll have divided loyalty. The Bible talks about that. You'll constantly focus on the trials. Maybe you'll focus on the rain that's hitting you right now. Maybe you'll focus on the tribulations of this world instead of focusing on the fact that Jesus has overcome the world. And that this life here on earth is but a vapor. It's here one day and it's gone the next. John chapter 16, Jesus talks about this in verse 33. He said, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Do you have peace in Christ this morning? That's something to ask yourself. Do I have peace in Christ this morning? Jesus says this. He says, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. So we should just expect them. We should expect for it to rain while we're out here having a good church service. But you know what? Jesus says, but take heart, because I've overcome the world, and you won't melt in the rain. No, he didn't say that. But he did say, take heart, because I have overcome the world. We must understand, church, the great treasure that is standing right in front of us, that's here with us today. Number two, the second thing we see in this parable is this. A treasure is hidden in a field. You see, Jesus is the greatest treasure that a person could ever find. Okay? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else. He sold everything else to go buy the field. That's what Paul did. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage. Anything he had before, he said, it's worthless. It's garbage. So that I could gain Christ. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus says it like this. He says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? So no matter which interpretation you see in this parable or you find yourself, both should stir us into action this morning. If God is revealing to you through this passage that you are His treasure for the first time, good, you need to receive that this morning. If for the first time God is really revealing to you that, man, I love you, Anthony, and I gave my son for you, and I love you, and nothing that you have ever done can separate that love that I have for you, receive that truth today. But if God is revealing to you that you need to leave something behind to really be a true Christ follower, now look, that could be a possession. That could be some plans that you have. That could be that could even be something as simple as unforgiveness or whatever it is. What is it that's keeping you from being a true Christ follower? If that's the way that God is working on your heart today, good. Receive that truth as well. And let God work on you today. Sell everything you buy. Sell everything that you own and buy the entire field. Because what does it benefit us to gain the whole world just to lose our soul? Number three, the third thing we see in this parable is this. A man who finds the treasure. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says this. If you look for me, this is God talking to the prophet Jeremiah. He said, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Does that sound difficult, church? Did he say you have to do this first? You have to do this? You have to join this church? You have to be this amount of religious activities that you need to do? No, he says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. So there's a challenge from God, but there's also a promise from God. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says this, but from there you will search again for the Lord, your God. And if you search for Him with all your heart and soul, you will find Him. You see, there has to come a point in your life. There has to come a point in my life, in each person's life, when you decide to seek the Lord wholeheartedly. When you say, I want to go find that treasure that the pastor was talking about. I want to go find that. I want to go find and seek after the Lord like the Bible says to find that treasure. For me, church, it took 32 years for me to decide to start really seeking after the Lord. I remember sitting through church services week after week. I remember fighting back the tears and knowing that God was calling me into relationship with Him to find that treasure. But you know what I did? I said, oh Lord, please let this song end soon so I don't start crying. Right? I just let me get through this church service. I don't want my wife to know that I'm struggling. I definitely don't want to know everybody in the church to know that I'm dealing, that I'm not perfect, that I'm dealing with something. And I remember sitting there waiting for the song, that last song at the end of the service, to be over, just so I could go back and get out of there and get back to my old life where I was comfortable. And it didn't take long for the mundane of the week. It quickly drowned out those feelings that I had at the end of the service or during the service that I felt on Sunday. And all the while, I knew where the treasure was. I saw it out in the field. I knew where the treasure was. I'd heard about it. I had just sat through a church service and heard it preached. Just sitting there waiting for me. But I wasn't willing to let the old me go. I wasn't willing to sell everything I had to buy the field where the treasure was hidden. And it wasn't until my pastor at the time, He saw through the little fakeness that I had. He saw the struggle in my life. He saw the struggle in my heart. He saw me choking back the tears. He noticed the battle that I thought I was good at hiding. And he said, we need to meet. And so we met together, and he encouraged me. The most simple thing, but that had the most powerful change in my life. He said, Anthony, do you read the Bible? And I said, I'm ashamed to say this, but I don't even own a Bible. I didn't even own one. If I went to my house and tried to find a Bible, it would have been one of Jenny's Bibles, one of my wife's Bibles. And so she went and bought me a Bible. He said, you need to get into God's Word. And finally, on December 17th, 2012, which is a date that I hope I never forget, I got alone with the Lord. And I opened my Bible and I began to read it. And I began to read about how God loved me and how God wanted me to be His child and why God wanted to forgive me. And it became real to me. I began to read and understand that God has grace and mercy upon me, and He loves me, and He has a plan for my life. And you know what I did? I simply talked to God. I talked to Him. And I told Him that I was tired. I said, God, I'm tired of running from You. God, I'm tired of pretending that I've got it all together and that I don't need my Savior. God, I'm tired of doubting whether You love me. God, I'm tired of doubting, am I saved, am I not? Am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to go to hell? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this sin and all the regret and shame that comes along with it. And you know what happened? Church, I found a treasure that day. I found a treasure that was in the field. And I vowed to the Lord that day, I committed my life to Him. And I said, God, if You would just forgive me, and You would just forgive me and just make me like You and show me that You love me, God, I promise that I will love You forever. And church, I tell you this, not so that I can seem like a super spiritual person this morning, but I tell you this to show you how easy it is for you to find the treasure, to find a relationship with the Lord. If you really seek God wholeheartedly and you seek after Him and just come before Him and say, God, I want to know You. I come seeking You wholeheartedly. You will find Him. So as we close, I want to ask you this morning. Which way do you interpret this parable this morning? Take just a second. If you want, close your eyes and just really think about it. Which way do you find yourself in this parable today? Is God speaking to your heart to see Jesus, that Jesus sees you as the treasure? Or is God opening your eyes today to see that the Lord is the treasure and that you need to be seeking after Him? Well, I want to tell you this morning that it should be really both ways. And that it really can apply, and all of us should see it both ways in our life. You see, if you are a believer, you know that your relationship with Jesus and your salvation that He has given you and the forgiveness and the love and His acceptance and bringing you into His kingdom and being a child of God, it's a treasure. But is God asking you this morning, have you really hidden it in your heart? Have you really sold everything? Have you really put off the old and taken off the old and really put on the new? Have you really been born again? Are you a new creation in Christ? Have you hidden the treasure in the depths of your heart? How do you know that? Are you full of joy this morning? Do you have joy this morning? And if you're here today and you were like me before December 17th, 2012, and you've never really sought after the Lord, or maybe you're struggling with the fact that how could God love me? How could God ever really forgive me and accept me? He knows all the things I've done, all the thoughts I've had, all the mistakes I've made, all the times that I treated other people unfairly. Whatever it is, you need to be reminded that you are the treasure this morning. The treasure that led to Christ hanging on the cross and dying for you. Remember, Jesus gave up everything for you. Would He do that if you weren't His treasure this morning? He came to earth for you, left His throne in heaven. He gave up everything and all the splendor and the glory of heaven. He paid the ultimate price for you and me on the cross. And He did it because you are His treasure in the field. So either way you interpret this parable today, either way God is dealing with you today, you must make the decision to believe that God sees you as this treasure. Amen? You must take a moment and actually believe this and say, God, it doesn't make sense, but I believe this morning. I believe. That's, you know what the Bible says? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, guess what? You will be saved. It's that simple. And in that moment, God's not judging your past. He's not looking down and saying, well, I wish it wouldn't have taken you this long, Anthony. I'm disappointed in you. You know what's happening? Listen to what Jesus says, what happens when we accept that truth in our life. Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels whenever one sinner repents. You know, you have the power this morning to make all of heaven rejoice this morning. You know, you have the power and you have the capability right now to make a decision and to make a declaration and make a commitment in your life that will make heaven stand up and praise. Think about that for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul says this, and we'll close. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. I want to encourage you, as we're singing, or maybe you've already made that decision, make today your December 17th, 2012, if you never have. Something you can write down a date and you can go back to. Every time that you start doubting, every time the devil starts messing with you, every time something comes up in your life, you can say, I remember. I remember December 17th. I wrote it in my Bible. December 17th, 2012. And you know what? The Word of God tells me that nothing can snatch away. Nothing can snatch me away from that. And we fall back on our knees and we repent again and God brings us right back in and says, you never were lost. You just stepped away for a minute. Make today your December 17th, 2012. Because right now is the perfect timing. Because listen what it says. At just the right time, I heard you. God hears you this morning. On the day of salvation, I helped you. God wants to help you this morning. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation, says the Lord. Let's pray, and then we'll sing the closing hymn. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the promise of your word, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your spirit, God. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made for us. Even though we can't comprehend it, God, all we have to do is just wholeheartedly just say, God, I believe today. And I'm going to choose to believe it, even though my heart and my mind really don't want me to believe it because I can't comprehend it. The struggle is real this morning. You know that. But God, I just pray that your spirit would break through our hearts today and that it would be real to us today, that today is the day of salvation, that heaven is just waiting. They're waiting on the tips of, they're sitting on the, if they've got pews in heaven, God, the angels are sitting there just waiting to stand up and cheer this morning because somebody's ready to say, I receive the truth of the gospel of Jesus. God, if that's somebody here today, Lord, I just pray that your spirit would rise them up, Lord, and let them choose life today. Let them choose light in the darkness today. Let them choose salvation today. Let them choose freedom today. And let them have joy when they leave this place. God, we love you and we praise you. We praise you with every breath we have. We sing hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.